Well, good evening. Welcome to church. Good to see you. Acts chapter 19. Praise God forevermore. We'll be looking at utterance in the resurrection. You can say utterance in Christ. You can say utterance in the new birth. They mean the same thing. By now, we should understand that there are certain words that we have in the epistles that are synonymous, or they are synonyms. In other words, they can be interchanged for another. Acts chapter 19, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Hallelujah. I want you to see what happened there. Paul finding certain disciples. A disciple is a student. A disciple is somebody who follows the teaching of another. So he found certain disciples, and Paul automatically assumed that they were believers. So he asked a simple question. And that question is important because we understand now from that question, what is expected of somebody who has believed? Somebody who is a believer. What is expected? Paul asked the question, have you received? Now, if you've been following us in this teaching, we've explained two major words. There are other words that are used in the Greek to explain the word receive. And for the purpose of clarity, when we make a distinction between those words, so we will know the intent of the writer. Because there's received respect to welcome, to embrace something that you never had. And there's received, which has to do with laying hold of something by recognition. So there's welcoming something that was brought to you for the very first time. And then there's a receive, which is recognizing something is already with you. And you are meant to do something about that reality. So we see something in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began. Where did they begin? They began by speaking. What was at the background of their beginning? It was because of the message they had received. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, that is, they began. So, notice, by conscious exercise of their will, they did something. And that is a template for us today in the body of Christ. In other words, the early church, 120 people, after receiving teaching consistently for 40 days. Then in Acts 2:4, we see a demonstration of their faith in all that Christ has done. So, for 40 days, Jesus taught them. Look at Acts chapter 1. And let's read from verse 1. Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. So, as you compare, the former 3 times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That's the word resurrection. After his resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So notice, he was speaking of a reality. Now, there were 2 times Jesus spoke about things pertaining to the kingdom of God, pre-resurrection and post-resurrection. So there were things that Jesus taught in the 4 Gospels concerning the kingdom of God. Whenever you hear the word kingdom, there, think about a king and his domain, a king and his area of operation. So he had been teaching about the kingdom of God in the 4 Gospels. For instance, in John's Gospel chapter 3, and from verse 1. I want to give us a good background because, again, the more understanding you have, the more clarity and the more bold you will be when it comes to expressing the things of the Spirit. There's a level of understanding you can attain such that if they wake you up, you don't need to jump up and down. You don't need to exercise. You need to first pray in the Holy Ghost. You can just start. Because all you need is an understanding of the reality, which is you have come to acknowledge a reality that is with you always, irrespective of how you feel. Whether you feel worthless or you feel worthy, the blood of Jesus has made you worthy. Whether you feel bold or whether you feel weak, the Spirit of God within you is the Spirit of might that strengthens you. When you acknowledge that that Spirit is present, there's a response that you get as you step out in faith. The response can fail because it is after the fact. In other words, there is a fact that has taken place and the Spirit is in you because of that fact, which is Jesus is risen and he remains standing. Hallelujah. That's important. So notice, in those days, he spoke about things concerning the kingdom. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, an evil of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Jesus was a teacher who taught in such a way that he also demonstrated to back up what he was teaching. So notice, we know you are a teacher that come from God. So according to the way of the Jews, somebody who purportedly comes from God Miracles should be one of the ways to attest to his ministry that God has sent him. In other words, he was saying, you are just like the prophets of old. We can see miracles. Look at the next verse. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Now, what is he calling the kingdom of God? Look at the next verse. Again, he said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that is of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. So notice, he cannot see, he cannot enter. Now, so both seeing and entering speaks about a reality that has been preached and proclaimed right from the days of Moses, which a man will now enter by being born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So Jesus first introduces the Spirit to us as a way to enter or to be a member or to be a participant in that kingdom. That's the first thing he did in John chapter 3. And John's teachings seem to focus more on how Jesus began to explain the kingdom of God. Now, let me say it again. The kingdom of God, respect to the way it was taught in the kingdom, is not a planet somewhere. The kingdom simply means the arena of a king and his domain. So in other words, God's kingdom, which is also God's way of doing things, God's system, was already in existence, but it was not fully opened up to men to enter because the Spirit was yet to be given. So how does a man see and enter? It is by the Spirit. Except a man be born of water, that is the Spirit. He cannot what? Enter. Hallelujah. So why is Jesus using these terminologies? Notice the question Nicodemus asks. Is it possible for a man after his old to be born again? To enter the mother's womb a second time? And Jesus was surprised. Look at what Jesus said after this. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell when it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He went and answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a master of Israel, and knoweth not these things? Now, was he a teacher? Yes. Was he a Pharisee? Yes. Was he a student of Moses? Yes. Did it mean that he understood the scriptures? No. In other words, Jesus expected that if he understood what Moses said, which Ezekiel echoed, you should have understood what I meant by spirit, which is water. So you should know I'm not talking about the woman's womb because we're talking about the kingdom of God. You agree according to Moses that God is a spirit. So obviously, so I say, if a man be born of the Spirit, you understand I cannot be talking about the woman's womb. It must be another womb. It is a womb, but it's not the womb of a woman. Hallelujah. A same man be born of the water, which is the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. So pay attention. Let's go back to that, Acts chapter 19. Because there were things that Jesus said. We saw Acts chapter 1 just now, right? There are things concerning the kingdom, isn't it? That's what Jesus taught in Acts chapter 1. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, what did we see? And they were all filled, that is, they began. That is, they began. So they were following an instruction. They were already saved. And because they were saved, they were already entered into the kingdom. They already had the Spirit, but they needed to do something to express the Spirit. So having the Spirit and expressing the Spirit is a function of knowledge. Now, having the Spirit means to believe. Expressing the Spirit means to act on what you believe. Can you see the difference? So Jesus had already taught. In Acts 1:8, he told them, you shall receive what? Power. That's what to take hold of a reality. So who gives the reality? Jesus in his resurrection gave them the reality of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is the kingdom of God. See, the Spirit of God is the kingdom of God. If I have the Spirit, I'm in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in me. The error to avoid is to think the kingdom of God is somewhere. No, the kingdom of God was where Jesus was. Christ himself is the kingdom of God. Say, I'm in Christ. I'm in the Spirit. The Spirit is in me. It means Christ is in me. Therefore, the kingdom of God is in me. So the kingdom of God operates by faith. And Jesus taught them. And at the end of that teaching, he told them, you shall receive. Now, what will you receive? Something God has already supplied. You shall receive. What will receive? Only those who are in the kingdom can receive. So you shall receive, or to lay hold, or to take. What will you take? You who have already entered the kingdom. How did you enter? You have born again. You are born of the water, which is what? The Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, you shall receive. He's teaching them, how does the kingdom operate? Now, this is crucial because, again, let me say it this way. Jesus, fundamentally, had already taught disciples that when it comes to the operation of God's kingdom, the minute you, through the confession of faith in Christ Jesus, you have entered in the kingdom, you are born of the Spirit, from that time forward, there is a cooperation or a co-laboring between you and God to allow the things of the Spirit to be seen. In other words, it's no longer God initiating all the time. It is you and God partnering together to bring about all that God wants to do. So when Jesus told them, you shall receive, the implication is this, the ability to receive is in you because you are a new creation. Say, I'm a new creation. I'm in the Spirit. The Spirit is in me. I'm in the kingdom of God. And therefore, I can take of the Spirit and express it. So you shall receive is an ability. The word you shall is an ability. You have the ability now to initiate. Again, this is why it's important I will follow scripture, the early church. Listen carefully. 120 people, they are human beings like you and I. They had weaknesses, they had faults, they had limitations. Some of them were weary, some of them were bold, some of them were not so bold. So they were ordinary people. Like, what made them supernatural was the giving of the Spirit. Now, they were following an instruction. That means beyond their natural limitations, they acted on the truth of God's word. What was that truth? You shall receive. So the Spirit is in you. We cannot tell the Spirit in you until you receive. When will you receive? Only after the Spirit is in you. After you are born of the water, which is the Spirit. Then you are now in the kingdom. And in that kingdom, the way it operates that you shall what? Receive. Or you shall lay hold. So if you don't lay hold, nothing happens. Because God's part is to supply you with Spirit, which is given to you as you confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. But your part is to lay hold or to take off the Spirit. So from the time you are born of the Spirit, all you keep doing from that time forward, the question is, how did you get in the Spirit? Galatians 3. Glory to God. You know, I met with a group of friends on campus back then, and we used to explore. We used to call it adventures in the Spirit. So, of course, it's good for you to pray, to build yourself up. But we used to experiment. What does it mean to experiment? Well, the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So in other words, we'll come together. Nothing preconceived, nothing prearranged. We'll come together for 2 or 3 hours. We're just going to do the things of the Spirit. Now, you can take your time. Nobody hurries you. Nobody rushes you. In other words, as you take hold, or as you stand in front of the other, because of course there was no microphone, so we're just a group of friends. As you stand before us, you are going to minister the things of the Spirit. You may not know what you will minister until you stand up. You may not even know when you stand up, but because you are acting on the reality of God's word, thank God for when there is a strong inspiration, which is that is how God is initiating, you can sense. But thank God much more when you are the one taking hold of the Spirit, because he said, you shall receive power. In other words, it's a package. I expect you to initiate. I expect you to take. I expect you to understand that you are about to unwrap something wonderful. You will discover, just like others, how wonderful it is. It will benefit you. It will benefit people that you are giving it to. Hallelujah. But you are in the kingdom now, and you shall receive all lambano, or take hold of the Spirit. So you are the one that will take. In other words, I have given. And for you to demonstrate you believe that you have the Spirit, you will have to take. How do you take? And they began. It looks so simple, and they began. Why use that particular method? Galatians 3. Look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That is to act in line with the truth. So there was a truth, a reality that was presented to them. Now it is a truth. It's not just a prophecy. It has come to pass. It was presented to them. So there was a reality they were meant to act upon. They were not acting upon. So they were embracing something instead of another reality. Now says, who has bewitched you? Who cast a spell on you that you have refused to act on the reality that was presented to you? Notice what it says. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified what? Among you. So when Paul came to preach the gospel, he showed them from the Holy Scriptures how Christ being crucified was prophesied. And now that prophecy has come to pass. That's what he meant by evidently set forth, spoken ahead of time. So I showed you how it was spoken ahead of time. I showed you how it became a reality. I showed you the fruit of that reality, which is the Spirit. And you believe the gospel that I preached unto you, and in believing, you receive the Spirit. Now look at the next thing it says. It says, this only will I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by what? The hearing of faith. In other words, is it by your effort? Is it by dotting all the I's and crossing the T's? Is it by living right? Is it by your personal holiness that you receive the Spirit, or by the hearing of faith? Now, the word faith here refers to God's faithfulness in bringing his word to pass. So, the hearing of faith means you heard that what God promised he would do, he has done. And in believing that promise, you what? Receive the Spirit. Say, I believe that Christ is risen, and I believe that he is Lord. And in believing, I've received the Spirit. So, notice, did you receive the Spirit? So the people he was addressing, they had the Spirit. But somebody that has the Spirit can be foolish. To be foolish means not to accept the reality of what you have. So when it's all foolish, Galatians means that you already have the Spirit. The gospel was preached to you. You believe the gospel. Now that you have believed, why didn't you act in line with the reality? So you already have the Spirit because you believed. Because you cannot believe and not have the Spirit. It will go together. So in believing, you have the Spirit. And now that you have the Spirit, when you receive the Spirit, was it by your effort or was it by hearing that God has been faithful? Glory to God. So notice, or by the end of it, are you so foolish? Haven't begun when? Say, I'm in the Spirit. The day I met Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I was born in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. I exist in the Spirit. The last part is, will you walk in the Spirit? Now, so you were born in the Spirit. You live in the Spirit. You exist in the Spirit. Galatians now says, will you walk where you live? Because it writes to the same people in Galatians chapter 5 now. It said, now walk in the Spirit or carry out activities in the realm you belong to. That now is a function of your will. Every other one he spoke of before was done the minute they made Jesus their Lord and Savior. They received the Spirit. Now that you are in the Spirit and you are born of the Spirit, will you now walk in the Spirit? So, see what it says now. Are you so foolish? I haven't begun. How did you begin? You began by hearing. What did you hear? Hearing of faith. What is the hearing of faith? God has been faithful to fulfill all that he has said. Now, remember when Paul was writing to them at that time, they didn't have the epistles, so they were at Genesis to what? Malachi. So Paul showed them how God promised. Paul showed them how what God promised God fulfilled. And in fulfilling, God has been found what? Faithful. So the hearing of God's faithfulness is how you receive the Spirit. How are you meant to continue where you are? By hearing continuously about that faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what did Jesus say to them in Acts chapter 1? He taught them for 40 days things concerning the kingdom they've come into. Now, within that kingdom, he now told them, remember, having the Spirit means you have the ability to lay hold. Now, so if you don't lay hold, nothing happens. But something has happened that God has given you the Spirit because Jesus is risen. Now, the one who was risen stood before them and taught them for 40 days. But the one who was teaching them was calling their attention to the Word of God rather than just his physical presence. So, look at the schooling. He was schooling them out of the senses into the kingdom or to the way of the Spirit. There was a schooling. Let me use the word schooling this way. It's like, so to speak, to be programmed, to operate in a particular fashion. Hallelujah. Now, I think I gave an illustration some time back about some folks I knew on campus also. They took it to the extreme. When I say to the extreme now, they were so bent on countering the legalistic mindset of people in their day that they did some things to the extreme. They still got results because they were right. Though they were obnoxious. You know what it means to be obnoxious? To be irritating. They were obnoxious, but they were right. So one of them, they brought somebody who was yet to be filled with the Spirit. You know, you are not filled with the Spirit. No. That means you are not yielding to the Spirit. So they brought somebody. And they usually bring hard cases. They've done everything that they know to do, but this guy is also refused. So they brought it to one of them, and they were eating at that time. And now if you come from this very legalistic, you have prayed, you have fasted, you have confessed, you have gone for crusade, to just get the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Now, all those things, the more you do those things and you don't get the Spirit in quotes, the more hardened you become. Because instead of getting out of works, you sink more into works. Ah, no, I must prove to God I qualify. That's the problem. You don't qualify. Somebody else qualifies you. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance that belongs to the saints in life. How did he do it? He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and what? Translated. The person who is praying, who is fasting to get the Spirit, does not know she has been delivered, and in being delivered, she has been translated. So there is no in-between. You cannot be delivered and not translated. Your being delivered is your translation. But some people refuse to accept that they've been translated. So they still want to beg God for what is freely given. So the challenge is with their mind. So everyone who wants to come before them, they still want the person to have that kind of serious, which is, you know, as in, just tell them. And there's some people that, to help them, you tell them, go and fast for 7 days and come back. Say, 7 days dry. It's not because they need 7 days. It's because their mindset, the foolishness that is there, we need 7 days to go. You need 7 days for the foolishness to go. Because you can present, you know what I mean? You present truth to them, before them, and they still refuse. When somebody brought his older brother to me one day, I was an actual pastor in Ibadan then, 2002, and he said, I've done everything, and he refused to speak. We've laid hands, laid legs. I refused. So he was expecting to go and lay hands. I said, I'm not going to lay hands. I said, I will sit here, you sit there, be looking at me. I'm going to teach you, and when you're ready, you will speak. I taught for 15 minutes. In the 16th minute, I started speaking. I said, I'm not going, because you already used somebody putting hand on your head, and it has not worked since. It won't work now, too. Because the problem is not the laying hands, it's your head. Your head is not correct. Your head is not correct. What is the problem? Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has cast a spell? You know what it means? That means somebody came after you have received the truth and confused you. But you received the truth first, then somebody now came. You now accepted that and ignored the reality. What's that great thing? I haven't begun in the Spirit. How can somebody not tell you will qualify for what you never qualified for in the first place? Somebody now tells you that, you know what? We shall make heaven. That's what they now brought to you. After you were told, they are fellow citizens of the household of God. Hallelujah. After they told you that, somebody now came to you, brother, it's by fasting and prayer that will make heaven. There are people who are fasting and praying, and they are not close anywhere to heaven. So that's the legalistic mindset. Haven't begun where in the spirit, are you now made perfect where in the flesh? So this particular individual, the person that they brought him to, was eating. I remember it was everybody was eating. Says, say after me. Because the doorway to the things of the spirit is by words. It's to allow your will to yield to the word of God, and in yielding, the things of the spirit will not only be received. You use words to take hold of the things of the spirit. You can prophesy by saying that, I'm going to prophesy now. I will do it now. You can say it as many times as you want to. It helps you. If you continue saying it, it will overtake you. Somebody says, why? Because the spirit is not going to come. The spirit is already in you. You may have a problem, the spirit is going to come. But since you already have the spirit, what you now need to do is to express spirit. How the spirit come into you? Because you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. How will it come out? By believing in your heart and what? Confessing with your mouth. It's the same principle. It doesn't change. Haven't begun. How did it begin? You believed, you confessed. What did you believe? The hearing of God's faithfulness. You believed it, then you confessed in agreement with what you had. And in that agreement, the spirit was supplied. Now, haven't begun, how do you continue? Exactly the same way. So this brother told the person, are you ready? See after me. And he was just looking at the Eba. He didn't even say, let me stop eating. Let me say, oh, I'll come back in the evening, I will have finished eating that. You know, feel like the person should be doing dry fast because of you. How will I do dry fast for what Jesus had done? I may need dry fast after I have knowledge. But fasting does not take the place of knowledge. You can fast and die. You only get to heaven too soon. And Jesus will tell you that, why did you come at this time? You have about 15 more years. You came too early. You didn't do the work I told you to do. You can fast out of ignorance, or you can fast based on what? Knowledge. You can fast based on knowledge. Did they say after me? Now, as the person was seeing, the person was also consciously transferring power and boldness. Say after me. The person was shocked when he began to speak in tongues. He needs to ask me to pray one long prayer because your mind is full of legalistic conditions which have nothing to do with receiving the Spirit. You shall receive. I assure you, the 120 people, none of them had all their teeth crossed, all their eyes open. Yeah, I can assure you. And guess who championed it? Peter. Uncle Peter. You can imagine. Why did the God do things like that? And his strength is made perfect in weakness. Glory to God. No. All of them, they began. Where did the ability come from? You shall receive. Who is able to receive? Those who are in the kingdom. What does it mean to be in the kingdom? To have the Spirit. How do you have the Spirit? You confess Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Or in his resurrection, you have the Spirit. Glory to God. So notice again, go back to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, verse 2. Have you received? So what is expected of a believer is to receive. That's what lambado. Have you taken hold of the Spirit? So Paul assumed, because they were disciples, that they were already believers. But they said something that opened the eyes of Paul to see their spiritual state. Notice, have you received, which is, have you laid hold of the Spirit since you believed? And they said something, we have not so much as heard whether there be what? Any Holy Ghost. What does that mean? We are not saved. If you not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost, that means you are not saved. How do we know? John chapter 7. John chapter 7 verse 37. Quickly. Are you following? John 7:37. Look at Jesus. The last day that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. Now again, Jesus is using spiritual language. Spiritual language. When he says, if any man thirst, he's not talking about thirsty for water. And when Jesus mentions water, he's talking about the water of life, or the life is referred to as what? Water. So, Jesus is using a figure of speech to communicate spiritual realities. If any man thirst will be, if any man has not the Spirit, if any man is looking for the Spirit, if any man is looking for life, let him come unto me and drink. Now, he now says, as the scripture has said, okay, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. And we said, if you go through all the scriptures, you won't find any single verse, because Jesus is summarizing all that the prophets were trying to say. So Jesus is saying, this is what the prophets have concluded. If you read the writings of Moses all the way to Malachi, you will conclude that this is what they were trying to say. He that believeth on me. That is what the scripture says. So he says, he that believeth on me, as scripture says, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Look at the next verse, in case you didn't understand what was talking about. Rivers of living water, or rivers of life-giving water. But this speaking of what? The Spirit, which they that believe on him should So notice, everyone who believes on him will receive this as proof of what? That's John's language. So the proof of believing is that I receive. What do I receive? The Spirit. But this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on me should receive. For the what? Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. What's another word for glorified? Resurrected. So in the resurrection of Jesus, what is the gift in the resurrection? The Spirit. But Jesus said, this is a summary of the prophet's prophecy. What did they say? He says, if any man tells them, come to me and drink. What does it mean to drink? To believe. What do you believe? That Jesus is glorified. What will you receive? The Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus was teaching, you will receive the Spirit in my resurrection, which is proof of your what? Believing. That's what Jesus was teaching. So when they told Paul, what did they tell Paul? We have not so much as heard whether there be what? Any Holy Ghost. Look at what Paul asked them. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized, or what do you believe? Again, remember, the word baptized come in touching for what? Come in touching for what? Believe. Mark chapter 16. Don't let's assume. Let's take our minds back to some of those things. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that what? Believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And a simple law or a simple Bible interpretation simply shows that if he says, if that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not, he should have added and is not baptized. But it doesn't have that, because the believing is the what? Baptism. Glory to God. Can you see that? So the believing is the baptism. So when Paul was asking them, unto what then were you baptized, or what did you believe? Because I just asked you now, have you received the Spirit? Because if you are believers, you should have taken hold of the Spirit. You can say, Paul is saying, are you guys giving to utterance? Hallelujah. Are you guys giving to spiritual utterance? You are disciples. And part of my work, I'm a teacher of the word of God. And I'm to communicate to you the things of the kingdom. And in this kingdom, one of the proofs that somebody has received the Spirit is that the person should have laid hold of the Spirit or be given to utterance. So it was like, have you received the Spirit since you believed? So it is possible for a man to believe and not receive the Spirit, or to lay hold of the Spirit. So they now told Paul something interesting. We have never heard. That means they have never believed. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So if you have never heard, then you have never believed. If you have never heard, you have never believed. It is the hearing that produces what? The believing. How did they receive the Spirit in Galatians? By the hearing of faith. Glory to God. Can you see that? By the hearing of faith. So back in, I say, and he said, unto them, what then were you baptized? And said, unto John's what? Baptism. Then said Paul. So in other words, they got to a place in line with the scriptures, with what John preached, but they didn't continue to the end. So look at what Paul said now. He says, John verily baptized with the baptism of what? Repentance, which is a change of heart. A change of heart. What does it mean to change their minds, or towards who, or in what manner? He says, saying unto them. So the baptism of John was a saying. Glory to God. John's baptism was a saying. John's baptism was not water. The water was something symbolic, because the Jews were in the senses. They were in the flesh. So John came with the baptism of repentance. So he used the water as a figure to call their attention. And this is the problem. The minute you focus on the water and you don't pay attention to what John is saying, you are not a disciple of John. You are meant to pay attention to what is John saying as he's baptizing. Because the baptism of repentance means change your mind. The change doesn't come from water. It comes from what John is saying. So if a man is a disciple of John, there is a teaching that John gave. In that teaching, notice how Paul summarized it, they were to believe on him that should come after. So John's ministry was to announce somebody is coming. I'm not saying anything different from what Moses said. Moses also said, somebody will come. I'm not telling you somebody is coming. The best John could do was to tell them, he has come. But that's where his ministry stopped. He has come. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But he couldn't tell them, he has taken away the sins. He could tell them he will take away the sins of the world. That's where his ministry stopped. So let's go back. See what it says. So John verily baptized baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, which is one on Jesus Christ. When they had this, you would think Paul just spoke a line. No. He sat them down. He began to teach them. He took the sins of John the Baptist. What are those sins of John the Baptist? Look at John's Gospel chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent us not to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the what? Only begotten Son of God. This is one of the scriptures you use to convince artists and universalists. You know, universalists? God is a good God. Nobody's going to hell. No people are going to hell. The reason is very clear. They have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. It's simple. That means they made a choice. That means not God has sent them. They say we are going. Look at it. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth what? Not is what? Notice he will not be condemned. He's already condemned. Notice, because he has not believed in the name. So when you hear the name, that's where problem comes. What is the name of Jesus? What is accomplishment? It's resurrection. So they have not believed on the resurrection. That means they don't believe Jesus can forgive their sins. What will happen? They are condemned already. Or they will go to hell. It's a choice. It's not that God is sending them. They've made a choice because everybody was going there before. Some decided not to go by believing on the name or believing in the resurrection of Jesus. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man what? Believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So see what it says. Look at. Let's continue. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than what the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. After this, Jesus came and disciples to the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and was baptized. And John also was baptizing here, near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying. But if you continue, let's just go all the way to verse 28, please. You yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before for him. He that has the bride is what? The bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, what? Rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is what? Fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. You realize that he didn't decrease eventually. That's where the problem started. This is, he said it by his own mouth. It was meant to decrease, but he refused to decrease. That's where the problem. That's why he went to prison. No, it's true. He didn't decrease. So he should have stopped baptizing. He pointed him out. You said, I'm baptizing in water. The one that comes after him, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. In fact, the reason why I'm even baptizing is because I'm meant to reveal him. What does that mean? Once you reveal him, follow him and be his disciple. I'll be learning. But since the water has now stopped, he now went into politics. That's problem. Started confronting Herod and the wife of problem. Jesus saw the Herod. Oh, you think Jesus didn't see that Herod was taking his brother's wife? He saw it. Notice that Jesus didn't see anything. My time is not yet come. My time is not yet. When you leave the one that they told you to say, you are saying something else. You are looking for trouble. Jesus said, my time is not yet. They want to force him, make him king. He escaped that of their hands. Don't change the agenda. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not the next governor of this place. Don't change the agenda. The minute he left, pointing to Jesus too, he's sending judgment on Herod. What happened? Prison. Or he fell to Satan's trap. So it didn't decrease. That's the problem. Next verse, quick. But here's what I want to say. He that cometh from where? This is John had the greatest revelation of all the prophets. He that cometh from where? Above. Is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is what? Above all. It says, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man what? Receives his testimony. He that has received his testimony has said to seal that God is true. For him whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his what? Hand. So John's testimony, this is John now preaching. So the baptism of John will be all that John preached. He told you he's above all. He told you he's greater than me. He told you I was sent ahead of him. He told you the shoes, the latchet of his shoes are not worthy to what? Unlatch. That's what John said. So Paul now began from that testimony that everything John said is true. But what John said you should believe on him that should come after he has come. So in other words, he now preached the gospel to them properly in the fullness of God's word, faithfulness. What John said will happen as what happened. What happened next? Look at what it says. Verse 5. And when they had this, they were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? They believed. They believed. There was no water there. They believed. They believed. There was no water there. They believed. They were baptized. Why were they baptized? Because they heard. What did they hear? The preaching. What did preaching produce? The hearing of faith. What's the hearing of faith? They heard of God's faithfulness. And they were baptized, or they believed. And look at what happened next. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. And now here's what I want you to see. I want you to see, just like the early church, the difference is these were Christians or believers who were just a few minutes old in the spirit. So it's not how long you have been in the spirit. It's not how old you are spiritually. How old you are will count eventually when it comes to how you master administering edification. But how old you are does not affect the flow of the spirit through you. Notice a few minutes old, he lay hands and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Again, that is Luke's way of presenting the gospel. The Holy Ghost came on them. Don't get carried away with the figure of speech. It doesn't mean something fell on them. It simply means the spirit that is in them was now seen upon them. The spirit that is in them was now seen upon them. So the Holy Ghost came on them is an expression for they spoke in tongues and they prophesy. Hallelujah. So if you stand this evening and you speak in tongues and you prophesy, we will say the Holy Ghost is where? Upon you. That's what it means, the Holy Ghost upon you. It's not that something was moving their head. No. The Holy Ghost is upon you simply means they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Where did they get it from? By the hearing of faith. How did they get the hearing of faith? From what Paul taught. So Paul taught them that, you know what? What John said will be has already come to pass. It's now a reality. How do you respond? You take hold of the Spirit. So it was like going back to that initial question. Have you received the Spirit? Why couldn't they receive? They've not had. What did Paul do? He corrected their hearing. He gave them the gospel, the message. Now that they have believed, they could receive or they could lay hold of the Spirit. So let me ask a question. Have you believed? Have you believed? Have you received? That's a different matter. That's a different matter. Have you believed? Have you received? Or will you receive? Okay, no. I didn't get it. Acts chapter 8. Sometimes we do a trick question. Just to see whether you are following. Acts 8. Are you in Acts 8? Are you there? Acts 8 verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and did what? Preached Christ unto them. Look at verse 12. Just permit me to just jump verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning what? The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were what? Baptized, both men and women. You see that? They were immersed. They were baptized, both men and women. They believed. Okay? Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The name of Jesus. What Christ has accomplished. That's what Philip preached. The belief means that they were baptized. And look at what happened next. Verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding miracles and signs which were done. Look at verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had what? Received the word of God. The word received there is to welcome. To embrace something you never had before. You just received it now. You heard it for the first time. You welcome the reality. You remember that the word of God is also called things of the spirit. Hallelujah. Let me say it another way. You know, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are ministering to you the things of the spirit. Because we are ministering to you things of that invisible realm that is nevertheless present. Think about it. I go to an unbeliever. I preach the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus is risen from the dead. And salvation is available. And the spirit will be given to whosoever believes. It is already a reality, but nobody can see it. But the person that is preached to opens his heart, believes it, and what receives the reality where into his heart. What have I ministered to you? I've ministered to you the things of the spirit or the word of God. So the testimony I'm carrying about is also called the things of what? The spirit. If you understand, let me say that. Because there is no way for me to prove to you that Christ is risen except through preaching in true words. And as you begin to believe, signs will follow to testify what you are hearing is true. Should I say that again? Signs will follow to testify that what you are hearing is what? True. Now, let me say it this way again. That's why a believer's boldness, listen carefully. When we pray, we're more emboldened to act on our faith. But our prayer doesn't give us our faith. Salvation in Christ is how your faith came. It is a done deal. It is settled. Whether you believe or not, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is risen and he remains standing. Say amen. So my boldness or my confidence, listen carefully, should not be in how long I pray before I minister. It should be in the fact that because Christ is risen, is why there will always be something to what? Minister. So the reasons why signs will follow, let me say it again, is not because you prayed. The reason signs will follow is because what you are testifying to is a reality. Glory to God. It's a reality. What you are testifying of and to is a reality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said from verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, I'm declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and what? Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and what? And of power. So that your faith will not stand where? In the wisdom of man, but where? In the power of God." That in the ability of God to fulfill his word. I want your faith to be in the ability of the fulfilled word of God. That's where your faith should be in. Hence, I preach the gospel. I'm not even trying to persuade. I'm trusting the Spirit behind the words to persuade you. That's what he's saying. It has happened already. It has taken place already. So my boldness is in fact that it has taken place already. I'm not administering what will be. I'm administering what is. Glory to God. Say, I prophesy at will, because to prophesy is in me by the Spirit of God. Say, I have the Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit. Therefore, I can and I will prophesy. Hallelujah. That's important. Now, again, when we come together, somebody say, Pastor, for 6 hours. Yes. The reason is because you may prophesy one by one that all may learn. In other words, if you say a little now and you come back and you say more, you are going to get better. Then from what you are saying, others will find their place. They will also know what to say. And then the picture begins to get clearer and clearer until we see exactly what God is saying through every single one of us. In other words, sometimes there's what you call a consultation going on. Somebody gets up, sings a psalm or speaks a psalm, because some can sing it, some can speak it out. And then somebody gets up, sings also. And then if we notice the first three that we hear, we pay attention to what does it contain. We begin to know which direction the meeting is going. And that's why those who come late, they usually cause disorder. You just come to the front. What are you going to minister? I believe all of us should dance. We've not gotten there yet. If you listen to the first three utterances now, you will know we are not supposed to dance now. We are not saying you are wrong. We are only saying that you didn't follow the order. Because if you were here when we started the meeting, you would have known maybe the dancing you are talking about is meant to be in the next 2 hours. We just pick something from the Spirit. Just pick something. But you are not following the order because you came late. In fact, you are still confused by traffic that you face on the way. That's the problem. Vision will come on time. Sometimes as worship is being led, we already have a direction because the person who's leading worship just senses you just sing along this line. He just came. And then he brought a song that is completely different from what the other three people have said. We know you are the confusion. We tell you, sister, the Lord bless you. Sit down a little bit. Speak to yourself and to God. Let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to, in other words, speak until you get into alignment. What is the problem? You came late. You came late. We're not saying you are completely wrong, but it is not in order yet because you are bringing something else in because you are not focused. If the first three or four people come up, somehow will see a pattern in what they are saying. Have you noticed that in our meetings? That's the way it works. In other words, as each person speaks, you don't have to have everything. You say yours. The way the other person will say, the same thing will be different, but the picture will be clearer. And then when we look at everything, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Or they spoke in tongues. Let me say it in 1 Corinthians 14 language. They spoke in tongues and they walked in love. They spoke in tongues and they did things decently and in order. They spoke in tongues and they edified us. They spoke in tongues and they comforted us. They spoke in tongues and built us up. How many times do you want to say it? Are we saying the same thing? Yes. Because what is prophecy? Speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort. What is prophecy? How men will receive profiting. That's what prophecy is. What is the prophecy? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather than me one, prophesy. So the person who is prophesying is following after love. He's prioritizing the love walk. That's what he's doing. So everyone who comes, that means, let me say it another way. Everybody who comes on Saturday and does not prophesy, and the person is here, has refused to walk in love. Notice the phrase, he has refused to walk in love. Though he's a love being, though the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to all of us, and you're a member of this house, of this locus, and the body of Christ, therefore the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Ghost, but you have refused to yield to the Spirit or to walk in love or to prophesy. But the ability is there. What instruction Jesus came, you shall receive. What did Paul ask them? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Or have you taken hold of prophecy since you have believed? So prophecy abides in you because there's a fountain of utterance on your inside. Have you taken hold of it? So are you guys edifying one another? Because that's how the church is built up. That's what Paul was asking them. Have you received the Spirit since you have what? Believed. So now that you have believed and the Spirit is applied, have you been taking of the things of the Spirit by faith in the light of what that man has done? Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the minute you get too self-conscious, oh, let's see, the mic is coming, they're coming to me. Be anxious for nothing. If the Spirit of God witnessing to you, be not just that, you can even get up and tell us, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. We will know it's you. And after you continue in tongues and you say it again, we now know that you're not talking to us. God, that things will now come. Somebody says, why? Because with tongues, I can take off more to say. If I say one or two lies now, and I sense I'm running dry, I can do more tongues to draw more. But I'm drawing from an inexhaustible fountain that knows no end. And if I continue drawing, guess what? I will draw some things out that will also surprise me. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's good. Sometimes you can come and consult. I say, Brother Stephen, it's like when I was speaking, I saw this. I don't know how to say it. Because it's probably more expensive, we say that. You know what? Okay, let's go to Pastor. Let's share with Pastor Tolu. Pastor will tell us whether it's time for that yet or not. Why? Because you can pick up things. Picking things is one thing. Knowing when to administer is another. In other words, you're like, okay, I sense that this, but I don't sense I'm supposed to do it yet. That means there's a time in the meeting when you will know. Okay, it's time to give this now. It's also part of growing up spiritually. Why? I'm prioritizing prophecy, which is I'm going to say something, I minister something in language you all understand, which is prophecy, but I'm also going to do it in a way that everybody will be what? Edified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm praying at home. I'm preparing my heart for the meeting. I saw the particular face in the meeting. I saw myself dancing in front. Doesn't mean you just come to church, just go to the front. Just go and start dancing. We will know that you're just starting. You know, because what you have picked up is right. The same Spirit that showed it to you in a spiritual vision will also confirm to you it's time. And one of the strongest confirmations that when you do what you're meant to do, you will see the effect on the congregation. How many of you are not going to know? You see the effect on the congregation. Hallelujah. When we're in Aruna, and that's when people are not taught. When people hear prophesy, I don't know why they always think that it should be like Jonah or Zechariah. And this person, thank God she wrote it down. And she didn't say it. She wrote it down, that she go and give it to me. Because I was told, if you cannot come, write down what you pick up. And I saw what she was writing. God said, we judge many people that are here. Those who are not covering their head, we judge all of them. God said that person was, and I saw the list of things that God said. I put the list of the things God said, because she was the God that was saying it. I put it somewhere else. So she didn't come again because she was angry. I didn't read out. That's disorder. What is the problem? I wasn't angry. I just knew that she wasn't taught. Because she doesn't know that. The Bible says, prophets speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and what? What's comforting in that one? Nothing. There's nothing comforting. So the comfort, in other words, your understanding of God's word can affect your ability to prophesy. It can. Or let me say it this way, it can affect the words you are going to communicate in prophecy and how you prophesy. It can. If you are judgmental because you don't know God's word yet, guess what? How you minister the prophecy? To be judgmental. God is love. And his love is his grace towards all men. Therefore, he urges all to come because he's a father like no other. So as you learn, therefore, to follow him step by step, he will correct the areas of life where there seems to be a struggle by showing the more excellent way, letting you understand that as you put his words upon your lips, there will be clarity for you all the way. I just give you a word of prophecy. Where did it come from? From the inside. I can also say the same thing. God is warning all of you. The way you are behaving is bad. You have not been praying in the night the way you are praying. Now from this time forward, from 12 a.m., God will be watching you if you get up to pray. If you don't pray, things will go very bad. I've said the same thing, but with a judgmental tone. Have I edified you? No. I've scared you. But the Bible says, God is not giving a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power, of love, and what? Now, if you have that Old Testament mentality, guess how you'll be thinking? Judgmental tones. You come to the saints, you want to judge. See that when it is judgment, that's God speaking. No, we saw the book of Acts. We do hear them speak in our own language the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 10, Acts of Cornelius. They spoke in tongues and magnified God. And you see, the pattern is already in the scriptures. The spirit of the New Testament is the spirit of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Yeah. Will warnings come from time to time? Occasionally warnings will come. But for the church, warnings can't be enough. No. Occasionally, from time to time, warnings will come. Well, warnings can never be enough. No, it can't be enough. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been accepted to the beloved. Hallelujah. And that's why your reading of the scriptures and understanding of the truth of the New Testament automatically helps your vocabulary in giving prophecy. Automatically. Automatically affects your vocabulary. In other words, your words will be more gracious in communicating the mind of God to individuals the more you stay in the light of the New Testament or the epistles. Your words will be more gracious because there's what you want to say, there's how to say what you want to say. They're not the same thing. The second one comes by spiritual growth. The first one comes by the new birth. What to say, new birth. How to say what to say, spiritual growth. So the more you grow in the grace of God, the better you are at saying what you sense to what to say. Glory to God. And then what to say, what you want to say. And that's why, the same thing when it comes to visions also, because we're going to be having spiritual visions. Spiritual visions is common to every single believer. That means what you saw it on the inside of you. There are three forms of visions that are spoken of in the scriptures. The spiritual vision, which is the lowest form of vision, and then there is what you call trance, which is the second highest level of vision, where your physical senses are suspended. Okay? You almost cannot move your body. In Acts chapter 10, Peter fell over bodily into a trance. His physical senses were suspended. You are seeing, and yet your physical senses, you can't move your body. The highest level is open vision. Your senses are intact. And what you are seeing right before your eyes. It's as though you are in the spirit yourself and you are seeing everything right before your eyes. Interestingly enough, maybe one of these will look at it. The lowest form of vision is the highest form of revelation. I've thought that, I thought that some years back. And I think I taught it in ministry class too. I was looking to ministry class. I will look at that again for that we understand. But every single believer has a capacity to see. See, I see in the spirit. I hear in the spirit. I see in the spirit. I hear in the spirit. And that's very important because that is part of your inheritance. Your young men shall see what? Visions. It's normal. Your old men or the elders, which are ministers, they shall have divinely granted what? Appearances. So ministers will have divinely granted appearances, but your young men, the same people who are prophesying, they will have what? Visions. So there are times when, as you begin to prophesy, visions will start showing up. You see yourself do something. You saw something in a flash. They are spiritual visions. Because a lot of times we tend to discount those things and say things like, it is me just thinking. It's not just you just thinking. No. How come that did not come until you started speaking in tongues? So when you were speaking, you were at flashes. You saw something on the inside, something you should do. You saw somebody you were ministering to. You saw something happen to somebody else. Those are what you call spiritual visions. You're seeing them on the inside of you, and they are part and parcel of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as you move forward into Melimandro Stefle Diala Katine, Shituruna Castine.